Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
That's right. College football is here, and we are live at the end zone. Go Cats, the Northwestern zone, the end zone, as the Cats and UNLV about to get underway. Marlene Wells is out here. She just went into the WGN Walk of Fame, and she's getting us Mustard's Last Stand. I've got a double cheeseburger on the way, Adam Hogue, after eating a hot dog that you already brought over. This is a good start to the day.
Yeah, we might have to revoke the Hall of Fame, because where was this 30 minutes ago when I went there?
That's true. The timing,
I'm being very selfish right now, I realize that, but
The timing was not great for you. And by the way, if you come to the end zone, there is smoked chicken sausages and brat burgers and spicy chicken thigh sandwiches. And there is, I believe I see right in front of me, Bud Light 312, wine, and all sorts of stuff for you to enjoy your college football day.
Yeah, this is a great place. It started last year, expanded this year on the other corner of the stadium. I think we were on the southwest side of Ryan Field a year ago. Now it's southeast. More space, more food, more beverages, and especially for those of you that are, you know, taking public transportation to the game, this is a great place to stop by, because you don't have your own tailgate set up. Come here to the end zone.
And it's really your first stop off the L if you get off at Central on the Purple Line and you head west. By the way, for people who don't understand southeast, and I think that's a lot of you because it took me about 20 years to get it down, south, as far as Evanston concerned, is closer to the city. And east is closer to the lake. So if you could picture that on the stadium, that's
how did it take you 20 years to figure out where the lake was? That's the Chicago is the easiest way to know what direction to go.
Listen.
The streets are all north-south, other than a couple exceptions.
I probably,
and then you know where the lake is, you know what direction you're facing.
I just wanted to be feeling like we were all together, because I think some struggle. My father, Papa Fred, right now is probably extremely offended, because he's been teaching me about the hundreds and the blocks. I was at 14th in Costner, which is 4,000 west, since I basically came out of the womb. But when I started thinking about the southeast corner, like how I wasn't exactly like, oh, that's exactly there. I had to kind of process it together.
Yeah, he should be very disappointed in you.
But bottom line, come out and see us. Northwestern needs a win today, and they should get one against UNLV, but early season has never been easy for the Wildcats.
No, but I think it should be a little bit easier today, just from the standpoint that they're coming off a loss. They had a bye week. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be focused for this game today and the task at hand against UNLV. UNLV is not very good. But as you brought up, I mean, there's been other teams that have come here, and it's been a struggle in September sometimes for Northwestern.
I can remember losing to the Illinois State Redbirds. And I thought the season was over, and they went on to...
Well, last year against Akron.
Right.
And you had a big lead at halftime, and it seemed like that thing just disappeared in the matter of 2 minutes. And everyone thought the season was over then. They end up winning the Big Ten West with plenty of season two to spare. And so, look, that's a good reminder that you can overcome early struggles. The problem here is you look ahead at the schedule, and we hope the Wildcats aren't doing that. But we're allowed to do that.
I'm sure they're doing it, too.
Michigan State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio State, Iowa. That's your next 5 weeks. So this game is a regular season game. It counts. But you almost got to look at it from our standpoint. They can't look at it this way. We can. This is sort of like your preseason for the Big Ten, right? I mean, this is a game where you have to get in sync offensively, especially. I think this defense is good. It could be special for Northwestern this season. But offensively, especially with Hunter Johnson, you got to build some confidence. You know, when this game ends around 5:30, 6 o'clock this evening, I'm hoping that Hunter Johnson is feeling confident in his ability and the way he ran the offense today. Because if he doesn't, if that's still a problem by the end of this game today, that's a tough task going in that gauntlet the next 5 weeks.
I mean, you want to win the game, but let's just say for argument's sake that the Cats come in here, Hunter Johnson has a mediocre day, and you win, say, 17-14.
Carl, let me stop you there. Why don't you act like a professional and put your microphone in front of your mouth?
This thing is falling. Okay. Thank you, Rick Geezer. This is a... Okay. I just didn't think that it had the ability to actually hang in there. I felt like I had the defective microphone. Thank you, though, for the improvement.
See, this is what we're talking about here. You got to build confidence. Right. You got to come out. Right. You know, 2 hours from now, you got to get your confidence back, too. You're the quarterback here.
I feel like I'm in the preseason here. Yeah. Here's my scenario. Cats win 17-14. Hunter has an up-and-down day, throws a couple of picks. They eke out a win. Or let's just say that Hunter has an unbelievable day.
Sure.
Throws five touchdown passes. They lose 38-35. It's almost, I think the biggest thing is you got to get the quarterback going right now. Because you're talking about, as you just laid it out, you got the number 18 in the country, Michigan State Spartans, coming in here. Love your Rose Bowl tattoo. You are a diehard Wildcat. And we're going back. That's exactly
back
right. That is the goal. As the fans are starting to come in here to the end zone, he's got a 3-1-2. He's locked and loaded. Beautiful thing. No, you got number 18 Michigan State. You got number 14 Wisconsin on the road. Incredibly tough game. You're on the road in Nebraska. The Cornhuskers are struggling at the start, but it's never easy to play there, although the Cats have played well there. And then you got to take Ohio State on at home on a Friday night. The Buckeyes are up 17-3 right now in Indiana. They're number 6 in the country. And then you got Iowa coming here, number 19 in the country. You got to have the quarterback going here, Adam Hogan. You need to get him going right now.
Essentially, what I think you just said is you prefer they lose today, but have the quarterback feeling good, then win and have the quarterback struggling. And you're probably right because, again, the Cats can't think about it this way. I don't think anybody with the program's thinking about it this way. But we can look back to the past few seasons, and last year is a perfect example. It sucks to lose in September, non-conference games. But when the Cats were 1-3 last year, their one win was against Purdue, and it was in the Big Ten. And so that didn't really hurt their Big Ten standing, and they were able to win the division with plenty, again, with 3 weeks to spare. So not sure I completely am on board with the possibility of losing this game today, but I get what you're saying, and I understand.
42-0. Let's do that.
Yeah, that's...
That would be ideal. But I'm just, you know, I'm just looking at it like, all right, Hunter, you're... And shout out to TJ Green, out for the year. Maybe he'll seek a medical waiver to come back, but that... with the foot injury, that was a huge blow for TJ, and you know Northwestern's got to move forward. But that's a guy who's given a ton to the program, so I guess he'll contribute in whatever way he can. But that's too bad for him. Hey, do you have a federal student loan debt, Adam Ho? Do you have federal student loan debt?
I'm lucky that I don't. No.
Okay, well, if you did, the Kaplan Law Firm has the secret to lowering your monthly payment and eliminating thousands of dollars in federal student loan debt. You work in the public sector, are a fireman, police officer, doctor, or nurse, you likely qualify for thousands of dollars of forgiveness of your federal student loans. Not in the public sector? Well, the Kaplan Law Firm can still help to reduce your monthly student loan payments. Give Ray Kaplan a call at 312-294-8989, or you can visit financialrelief.com. Sam Valenzisi of that Wildcat Rose Bowl team is supposed to stop by. So is Dan Persa. Dave Ennett will be here. You should come by to the end zone, southeast corner of the stadium. Come on and say hi. We'll do something special for you. Adam Hogue is giving out free hugs.
Ooh.
It is Northwestern and UNLV coming up pregame at 2 on 720 WGN. They aren't flying in quite yet for free hugs here, Adam Hogue, but I'm assuming people are like getting on the L train right now at Belmont and they're heading north, coming to Central Avenue to get a hug from you. That's what I'm feeling.
I also didn't agree that they were free. I mean, I think I'm going to charge $5, but all the money will go to charity. How about that?
Oh, that's actually a decent idea. We are live at the end zone, southeast corner of Ryan Field, the Wildcats and UNLV coming up. Let's go back to the Stanford game, which was all the way back on the 31st of August. Feels like forever ago. It was 2 weeks ago. And you, of course, were out there on the sidelines. And Hunter had a rough day. But there were moments, I guess, Hunter Johnson, the Wildcats' new quarterback, people are getting up to speed. What did you see?
Well, it was kind of weird because even though the stats were horrible and he didn't play well, I liked what I saw from a talent standpoint. Like, I thought a lot of the traits, and I was watching this very closely with quarterbacks, I thought a lot of the traits that had been down on paper, you know, in his recruiting profile, things like that, came to fruition. They're on the tape. You know, for one, he's very athletic. He can use his feet to make plays, and he's got a really strong arm. Carm, I saw this guy in practice the other day roll into his right and rip off a throw that many NFL quarterbacks I've seen cannot throw, cannot make that throw. So there's a lot to like with the talent. Now it's a matter of, can he master the offense, make the right decisions, not unlike a lot of these discussions we have with number 10 on the Chicago Bears. Now, much smaller sample size here with Hunter Johnson. The game flow was weird. There were a lot of self-inflicted wounds that were not his fault. Like, his first interception of the game, the wide receiver was falling to the ground. It looked like the throw was high, but if the wide receiver is not falling to the ground, the ball's right in his chest.
Right.
And he's falling, goes off his hands, and it's an interception.
Right.
I didn't put that on the quarterback.
Neither did I. It would be ridiculous to. And look, this is a five-star quarterback who was transferred from Clemson. By the way, we're going to have Dan Persa coming up after the 12:30 news. He knows something about getting some quarterback play off the ground, so we can break down Hunter even further there. But historically, the Wildcats aren't getting five-star QBs coming here. I mean, that's a great statement for the program, and it was his first game, and he hadn't played since college, and you're talking about a full year off. It's unrealistic he's going to step in there and be Nails, or, you know, be Clayton Thorson at his best, who, by the way, good luck with the Dallas Cowboys now to Clayton. Yeah. So, I mean, and Fitz has talked about, like, hey, like, just, he's fine. It was a one-score game in the fourth quarter against a ranked team in Stanford on the road. Let's not freak out about one loss or one game of a quarterback playing for the first time. I think all that's fair.
Yeah. Well, and then they move the ball, and I know Hunter wasn't in at that time, but they're down there at the end zone, and T.J. Green fumbles it and unfortunately gets hurt on that play. You know, the play of that game, to me, was I'm forgetting who had the ball. Who had the ball and was running towards the end zone on defense on the turnover?
Over my head.
But they made a
Can't remember yesterday.
They made a great play. I know this is 2 weeks ago. But anyway, Stanford made a great play to just clip his heels from behind. Otherwise, that was a touchdown there.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the play of the game right there.
Well, and defensively, look, I mean, Patty Fisher could be headed to the NFL after this season. I've been impressed with what I've seen from Travis Willock, who the last six games of last year, he led college football in tackles. And there was a guy that played with Patty Fisher at Katy High School in Texas, and it's very rare that you'll have that type of synergy, two guys coming here, and he had hamstring injuries, which would, you know, he couldn't get on the field as a freshman, and then as a sophomore, he really started to take off. Now going in his junior year, that's a guy to be excited about.
And he took over for a senior last year at that position in the middle of the year. That shows you how talented he is, Travis Willock. But, you know, as good as this defense is, and I think as good as they're going to be, he missed. They were not perfect. He missed two tackles there late in the game.
Bad ones.
One came flying through, not great technique, missed a play in the backfield. That was a huge play.
Yeah.
And he didn't make it. So, you know, that's where I look at defensively, they can improve there too. I mean, that's a play that normally Travis is going to make. And so there was just, I think when they went back and looked at it, so many self-inflicted wounds. It's a game that the Cats definitely could have won. And I don't know if it's a game you say they should have won, but it's definitely a game they could have won.
I was out of practice this week, and, you know, at the end of practice, the team comes together to the middle of the field, and I don't even know if the media is even supposed to be around at that point, but you can hear what's going on, and this, I'm not sharing any secrets here, but, you know, when you hear Fitz talk to the team right there, I almost, like, just sit there like, man, it would be so awesome if I had a kid for him to play football and play for that guy. He's such a great leader. And he was just reminding everybody, like, look, if you're not on the field, if you're not getting to play, you still have a huge role on this football team. Guys, raise your hands. Who's been a guy who came here, didn't play immediately, and did everything, you know, was contributing that way? And, you know, basically the whole team's hands go up. I mean, how many guys play as, you know, early in their career as a freshman? Very rare. And so, like, my takeaway from that is, like, they're still, you know, this is a new year, still building that chemistry and everything coming together. And that's why, I mean, you know, historically, Fitz's teams, they just get better and better as the years go on, if the year goes on. And he always talks about how, look, we're a developmental program. We'll take three-star kids all day long and who we like and turn them into four-star kids. So
Well, and to that point, it takes time during the season when you got that next wave of young kids that are here. You're not going to be outstanding in early September. It's going to take some time, and that's why I think one of the reasons why the Cats do tend to improve as the year goes along. And you're also right. I mean, there's over 100 guys on the roster, so 50% of them are scout team. And those guys play a very important role during the week, giving the starters the looks they need to be prepared on Saturday.
Former Wildcat quarterback Dan Persa will be with us coming up after the 12:30 news, which is coming at you in 2 minutes. We're at the end zone. Come on by. Southeast corner of Ryan Field. The Wildcats and UNLV coming up. Kickoff is at 2:30. Our pregame starts at 2, the official pregame, right here on 720 WGN. In the end zone. Southeast corner of Ryan Field. Adam Hogue, we have, my name is Mark Garman, by the way, Wildcat pregame at 2 o'clock. Dave Ennett, Ted Albrecht going to take over at that point. We got some royalty with us here, Adam Hogue.
Well, we do, and looking forward to breaking this thing down with a couple guys Northwestern fans know very well.
That would be former quarterback Dan Persa. To my right and to my left is Sam Balancisi, who of course was kicking when the Wildcats went to the Rose Bowl. I'm about to get emotional. We all want to go back and see the purple in Pasadena. I believe that's your son behind you, Sam. Is that awesome?
Yeah, that is the champ, Alex, who maybe someday he'll get a chance to see the Cats in Pasadena. I hope it doesn't take another 25 years. We're almost halfway there. It's hard for me to think about that. There was a 70th anniversary reunion last night from the 1949 Rose Bowl team, which is just incredible. Incredible group of guys who set a standard at this school that, no one's reached since then. It took 50 years for us to get there, and let's hope it doesn't take, 50 years hence from there.
Hey, they were one quarter away last year. I know that game didn't feel like it, but they were there in the fourth quarter. It was close. It was close there for a minute.
Well, I think for Danny, we've been around long enough to see that the hallmark of this program is close games, and if you can keep it close late, you're in it and you can win it. That same thing happened 2 weeks ago. As poorly as everybody believes that Cats played, it was 10-7.
Yeah.
There with 5 minutes left, and we had the ball and we're looking to score. So.
Yeah, it's a dangerous game, though. As you kind of talked about, the last couple of years, it's always come down to the wire. And one bounce here or there, it's 10-2 or 6-6 or 5-7. So that's what as a fan and a former player, you want to see Northwestern kind of pick up the execution as the talent rises and, win games by 14, win games by three touchdowns and not have, playing against these, some people would call suboptimal teams and keeping it close. But to your point, last week, they're right there, and that's been their recipe for success for however many years, and that's how they stay in games and win them at the end. And last week or 2 weeks ago, they just didn't do that.
No, and I also think you look at Pat Sherrill's tenure; they've continued to get better as the season has gone on. I think he's earned the right to have the benefit of the doubt that we're going to have a better performance this week, we're going to play better the following week, we're going to continue to play better through the end of the year.
Did you back in the day think, this guy could be someone who's going to be around the program forever? And I don't, maybe you weren't thinking head coach. You wouldn't think that on the college level. But, did you see the makeup in him when you were playing with him?
Well, I think Pat would be the first one to tell you that he accentuated the physical gifts that he had by being well-prepared and understanding what was going on the other side of the ball so that he was never out of position. And I think you look at great coaches, they've never been guys who've overwhelmed people physically. They've always been guys who had to prepare. They've had to be smarter than the guys they were playing with. And I think that's, that profile, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I want to go back to something that I just noticed as we're talking about the Rose Bowl. Dan, you were shaking your head, and it's disappointing, but then you also step back, they've won 15 of their last 16 Big Ten games the Wildcats have, winning bowl games back-to-back-to-back seasons. This never happened, and yet you want more.
Well, yeah, it's just the expectation, right? And let's not forget, it's really, really hard to get to the Rose Bowl. I mean, ask Sam. How many programs in the Big Ten outside of, the top three or four have been there on a consistent basis or, even once in a decade? It's really hard to get there. So while while we have had great consistency and great winning in bowl games, you know, the former players especially just want to see that, as Sam talked about, just the continuance of excellence and getting to that Big Ten championship level and competing for a Rose Bowl every year. And that's just what competitive guys think about, right?
No doubt.
And Sam could have a different kind of perspective than I did. But when I got to Northwestern, it was, you know, they had laid a great foundation already. And we wanted to take it to the next level, and we didn't get there. But it's always interesting talking to guys like Sam when there was no tradition and they took it from 0 to 100 to get to the Rose Bowl at kind of, you know, from the ashes, which is, you know, very special.
Sam, did you know going into that year that was a realistic, players always say, like, that's the goal. But that's got to be a lot harder to believe it when you know the program was where it was. So going into that year, I mean, did you really feel like that's you're going to end up in Pasadena?
Answer is no. I don't think any of us, you know, and that's kind of a cheap way to answer the question because, you know, we set goals starting with at the top of the board, win the Big Ten, Rose Bowl game. Like, and if you're not setting your goals there, you know, I don't know why you're putting on the uniform. At the same time, you know, I know that we felt we were better than the year before. And the year before, we at one point, we were 3-3-1, and as Danny pointed out, how the recipe's been for the last couple of years, the bounces didn't go our way the last three or four games, and we ended up 3-7-1. But you know, we played Ohio State here. We were winning deep into that game, and had a chance at the end. If we could have gotten across the 50-yard line, there was no way I was going to miss a field goal against Ohio State, and you know, we would have won that game. We were in that game after that ball game in '94. Eddie George, who I got to know, you know, the following year on the rubber chicken circuit, you know, said, look, he said, that's a great football team. He said, I don't know what their record is. He said, but that's a good football team. And so it was there. We had to learn how to win. No one knew on that squad how to win. And that was, I think, the difference between 94 and 95.
Well, and speaking of that, like how to win, the Wildcats have had a quarterback the last 4 years in Clayton who got better and better and better and played big in some huge moments. What are you seeing, Dan, in Hunter so far, and what's it like for a team now not having that security where here's a guy who's been there, done that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge adjustment, right? You're coming off a four-year starter that just, you know, exudes so much confidence and makes everybody better, and then all of a sudden you have this huge question mark, and you know, obviously he didn't have the greatest game against Stanford, but I think there were some flashes. You see kind of the flashes of the five-star recruiting, and people don't want to dig into that too much, but you see the arm talent, you see him be able to run and make plays, and I think you guys were talking about before we got on the show, but like, you know, the first third down, he drops back, he's an open guy, Holman gets hit in the back, it should have been pass interference, and
yeah,
it's an interception, and as your first start, your confidence goes out the window. And and that cannot be understated, especially the folks that have played the position before. Once you lose confidence in your first start early in the game, it's hard to catch up. And you saw that in the whole first half. He was just, like, catching up, deer in the headlights, like, how do I get things back to neutral? And I thought in the second half he made some plays. He missed a lot of plays, too. And I think he was, and I talked about this before, his body wasn't really catching up with his mind when it came to throws. He didn't have great alignment and was missing some easy throws. But You still see flashes, and people have been really hard on him, but you see flashes of the things to come. And I think today, if McCall could just kind of get him in a groove, get him some easy passes, you know, get the receivers in the game, and people are on the receivers as well. It's like, oh, they're not making enough plays for him. You have to get the receivers in the game before you ask them to make one-handed grabs, right? So hopefully they do that today and get everybody involved early and build some confidence.
Well, Dan, you know a little bit about the quarterback position and being in that role. No one wanted to see T.J. Green get hurt the way he did, and it sucks. But the silver lining of that is you had 2 weeks to prepare for today, and Hunter Johnson now knows he is the guy. He's getting all the reps in practice. How can that benefit him?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people have talked about this. It's definitely a benefit. There's something to be said. Even though he was named the starter, from what I understand, TJ was always going to play.
Yep.
So you have that, you know, kind of, you know, someone breathing down your neck. And now that that's gone, and he has, you know, no proverbial safety net anymore. There's no one behind him that was really competing with him. He knows he's the guy. He knows he has to perform. He's been hearing it for 2 weeks now, how bad he's played. So hopefully as a competitive guy, he wants to come out and just kind of have a very efficient, you know, strong day leading into a tough slate in the Big Ten.
Well, and I would say, Danny, I mean, you, you set an example for the guys who followed you, and there was a time after you left where we were changing quarterbacks, and that, but that was part of the system. The system was not expected to be switching TJ and Hunter, and is, even if when you're named the starter, you know that you're not going to play the entire game. You got somebody who's going to come in to relieve you. You know, that there's a little bit of a voice in the back of your head that says, I got to make every throw perfect. And I think in the second half, because my family went out there to see the game, you could see that Hunter was pressing. He was trying to make every play because he knew it was a close game. And, you know, the difference between winning and losing was going to be maybe getting that throw to one of those receivers. Maybe Kyra catches the ball and he can break a tackle and he can take it the distance. And I think he was pressing a little bit. He's got a little bit more time, to, as you say, to kind of bring it back to neutral and get himself a good starting point for this week.
Yeah, hopefully. I think everybody's hoping for that. And to your point, I think there is something to be said for just looking over your shoulder. And not, even though you're named the starter, you're still the younger guy, right? You still never started. TJ's been there for however many years, 4 years. You're still the younger guy, new to the program. You know, who knows what the friendships and bonds are like on the team. And he's in a tough spot. But hopefully he responds this week, and I'm sure he will. He's a good kid.
It's former quarterback Dan Pearce of the Wildcats. Dan Valencizi is here from the Rose Bowl team. Adam Hogue is here. My name is Mark Harmon, and we're in the end zone, southeast corner, Ryan Field. Come on by. There's food. There's drink. There's everything you could possibly want before a football game. Take a quick time out, and we'll come on back. What do you got, Adam?
Do you have to leave, Sam?
I got to be upstairs or something about 1 o'clock, but I got a few more minutes.
Okay, all right. We'll come back then. I just want to make sure.
You can't leave yet. Your son looks super excited to watch this broadcast.
He's putting the headphones on.
We're talking to a Hall of Famer here, though, and we haven't brought it up yet. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Okay, all right. We got the quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Back here on End Zone Live outside of Ryan Field. I'm assuming it's band day because 17 different bands have walked by us.
High school bands, they all look ready to go.
Students aren't here yet. Got to fill the stadium.
Does that bother you, by the way? Is it harder to play in a non-con game when it's not sold out when, or whatever, Ohio State,
Michigan?
Well,
because school hasn't started.
And school hasn't started, of course.
It's definitely harder. The coaches won't talk about it, but when you're not playing Michigan State and the stadium's not full, it's harder. You got to self-start a little bit more than usual.
Yeah.
That's Dan Persis. Sam Valencizi's here as well. Newest member of the Northwestern Athletics Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
How was that?
You know, it was a great evening. You know, I'm super impressed by the other inductees. I mean, there were four other athlete inductees and an honorary inductee. The honorary inductee was Bill Osborne, former chairman of the Board of Trustees. But the four women who went in along with me, I'm super impressed. And it just reinforces to me that if I were coming out of high school today, there's no way I would ever have a chance to play sports here at Northwestern. I mean, their achievements and their athletic ability far outstrips anything that I brought to the table when I got here 30 years ago.
See, that's actually, I find that to be super interesting because everyone's like millennials or whatever they are now. They don't work as hard. Hold on a second. The bar just keeps on getting raised more and more. Your son who's sitting here, he's wearing what hat is he wearing? A little slugger's hat? He's in some 6-year-old league, however, that wasn't going on when I was a kid. I don't know if it was when you were a kid, Dan.
No, not as much. He's 7, by the way.
Seven, my bad.
It's hopefully the thing that I, not that I'm a father yet, I'm 30 years old, but the thing that I worry about is just kind of the specialization, right? You want kids to just continue to play as many sports as they can when so many kids are just, from like 7 years old on, are playing one sport and that's all they're going to do, and hopefully they just play as many sports as possible.
Did you play a bunch?
I played everything I could. I had 3-sport, athlete in high school, and I played probably 5 or 10 sports growing up. It's just like you grab a hockey stick, you shoot it, you grab a baseball bat, you swing it, you just kind of figure it out. And then you develop different, abilities and skill sets that help you when you do focus on football down the road.
Yeah. What about you, Sam?
I actually thought when I came to Northwestern, I was going to play baseball.
Wow.
And, I give Paul Stevens, a former coach, every time I see him, I give him a hard time because when I came and met with him, he said, you know what, I've got too many guys who look like you who can only play second base. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go play football. And so I always tell Paul, if he would have just let me play baseball, he'd made it to the College World Series.
Very humble, very humble.
Hey, real quick, because Sam, I know you got to go. What do you guys expect to see today against UNLV?
I think we're going to see a real strong bounce back. I mean, I think these guys have been tired of listening for 2 weeks about how terrible they played against Stanford, who, again, I think is a really good football team. I think they're going to come out, and I think we're going to see the offense open up. I think we're going to see a really solid performance from Hunter Johnson. I think we're going to see really good performance from these running backs. With Isaiah out today, I think you're going to see John Moten have a really big day. I expect him to break off a couple of really big runs. We know what kind of speed he has. You know, I think this is a 2-touchdown win for the Cats, and I think it's pretty comfortable. If Pat lets him get up by more than 2 touchdowns and really puts his foot on the gas, I think they could really win by a big score.
Yeah, I think, you know, the defense is going to pick up where it left off, you know, save the couple missed tackles. I think they're going to have a great day. The big question mark is, can the offense come out and have kind of a workman-like day and get Hunter confident and comfortable? And I think they will. This is the right opponent to build confidence going into the next week. And hopefully it's not as close as Sam just mentioned. Hopefully it's more than 2 touchdowns.
But before you go, Sam, what are you doing now?
I'm an investment banker here in the city of Chicago.
Okay, so probably making a couple dollars. Dan, what are you doing?
Real estate advisor for CBRE.
So also probably making a couple dollars. Is there anything, closing a deal, whatever you guys do in your work, or going and running out on that field, completing a pass, making a kick, what's better in life? Let's break that down. Big real estate deal or a bomb and you're running in the end zone?
Yeah, I think you know the answer to that. At the end of the day, if we close a big deal, it's money, and money's money. But having that, the adrenaline and hearing people cheer and playing for a purpose, again, hopefully we're both doing pretty well. But there's just nothing like playing college football, and everything else in your life, I mean, save having a child, is you're just trying to measure up to that.
There's nothing better than running out of that tunnel. Nothing better.
By the way,
I just want to reaffirm how jealous I am of these two guys right here. That's just why I'm doing this.
Well, and I was going to point out, there's a lot of shows like this going around the country today. Tailgate shows outside college football stadiums, talking to two former athletes that played for the program. And I'm guaranteeing we're the only ones talking to two guys that are this set for life, which is what Pat Fitzgerald always talks about, right?
Well, that's interesting, too.
It's a degree for life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he gave you the same talk where your football life is on one train and another one's over here, and eventually that's going to intersect, and you know this is going to end over here, and you're going to have to go forward, which is a great thing to why you want to play football at Northwestern.
No, I mean you don't really realize it until you graduate, and
right.
Sam can talk about it. You're like, yeah, that's great, you know, that's cool to have, and blah blah blah. And then you graduate, and you're like, whoa, there's a lot of people. Like when I graduated, Sam met with me anytime I asked, and you get great advice, and you're talking with great people nonstop. And as you get older and build better relationships with these people, they want to help you, and I think that's the main reason why, you know, so many Northwestern former athletes are doing so well.
It's a family.
Yeah.
It's trite. It gets repeated all the time, but this is a family, and it's been my family for 30 years. And you know, there's nothing I would trade for the experiences I've had and the people I've gotten to know and being a part of what's gone on here and what's going to happen here for the next 50 years.
Well, and Adam, you talk to the guys all the time, and I do the same. You hear it from the current players every time you ask, what's the best thing about playing for the family?
Yeah.
The guys. The locker room. That's what I'm going to miss. I mean, every senior that I talk to and ask that question, doing the same answer.
But also, the NFL work I do, the first week of September every year, I see half the Bears roster, almost half of it, get cut loose on the street, and there's players from all over the country that are at other schools, and I'm not knocking other schools, but there's a lot of guys that have that, oh, now what do I do moment, because I didn't make it, and there's not other, the phone's not ringing for some other practice squad roster somewhere else. And I think these guys coming out of Northwestern with their degrees, they know that they can give the NFL a run, and if it doesn't work out at any given moment, they still have a lot to fall back on, and they're still in pretty good shape.
Well, and it's not just what goes on in this stadium. It's the women's field hockey team. It's the lacrosse team. It's basketball. So all those guys and girls are here because they can compete at this high level, but they've got their eyes a little bit further down the road, and that's the caliber of person who comes to this school.
Sam, you got to leave. Your son really wants to go, and you've got, like, duties in the field. Are you sticking around? Are you going? Where? What are you doing?
You guys will have me. Yeah, I'll stick around.
One more segment. You got to stay for one more. I want to break down the quarterback.
Sam, thanks so much.
Guys, thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. Congrats on the Hall of Fame. Quick timeout news coming up, 720 WGN. It is End Zone Live. Wildcat football coming up on 720 WGN. We are live at the southeast corner of Ryan Field. Mark Carman, Adam Hogue, former Wildcat quarterback Dan Persa, and perhaps a voice you will recognize. Mr. Cat has stopped by. Dave Ennett, good to see you.
Good to be here, guys. Happy home opener to you.
How was the Hall of Fame last night?
The Northwestern Athletic Hall of Fame. I had two Halls of Fame yesterday.
That's true. You know? That's true.
Because we had the WGN Radio Walk of Fame, and we have a Walk of Famer, Marlene Wells, here with us today. but
who brought us food, and it's just awesome to see.
And by the way, more seniority than anyone in either of the Halls of Fame yesterday that I either WGN or the Northwestern Athletic Hall of Fame last night. But it was a great event. Chelsea Armstrong, Marissa Bast, some names that I know Dan Persa certainly remembers. Sarah Albrecht, who I told her she's now my favorite Albrecht, which
not saying much.
And Bill Osborne, who's the chairman of the Board of Trustees Emeritus, and Sam Valenzisi, who used to work with us on the radio broadcast. It was a great night. Sam, of course, the kicker of the 95 team, who famously remembered for a couple of things, being carried through the Purple Sea that was parted by Charlton Heston at Universal Studios in 95 before the Rose Bowl, and also for literally breaking down in tears along with the head coach after the Wildcats beat Mississippi State in the Gator Bowl on New Year's Day in 2013.
You know, we just had Sam on for like a half hour, and the name Cody Parkey didn't come up. Looking back on it, that was kind of an upset.
My favorite thing with Sam, when he was working, he did stats for me in the booth for several years, and he would analyze every kicker. That was it. He would break down the kicking game like nobody's business.
That's awesome, though, because that actually matters.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not really used to doing this, but now pregame at Soldier Field, I'm sitting there like charting the pregame kicks because it seems like that's what you got to do now before game.
Well, Adam, think about it. I mean, people talk about Soldier Field, but think about where Ryan Field is located. This is a stone's throw from Lake Michigan, and then the wind plays a big role in games in this stadium, too.
I'm thinking about pregame for a quarterback right now, and a quarterback going to game today, Hunter Johnson. And Dan, I know that you were just talking about in the break about it's got to slow down for him. I mean, he's all kind of, I think you used the words, quote, all over the place right now, and that's going to change. But, like, do you look for anything when you're watching him warm up? Will you notice things?
It's harder when he's warming up.
Keep going.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear it.
It's harder when he's warming up, but I think, you know, once he gets into the game, what we were talking about before during the break, you know, you just want to see his mind's going so fast right now. You just want to make sure his body's catching up. And before, at least what I saw in Stanford is he seemed to process things in his mind, but his body was just not catching up. His feet weren't right. He was leaving his arm high, and that kind of led to some higher throws and off-kilter throws. But, you know, during warm-ups, it's hard to see anything. For kicking, right, it's so many games come down to that last kick, and they want to know on the dot, you know, how many yards we have, where's the win, can the kicker seal the game. With quarterback, similar to being in practice, you don't really know what's going on in their heads until the ball gets kicked off and they're on the first down.
Dave, you've been hanging out with Fitz some. Do you sense he's concerned about Hunter? Where are you?
No, not at all. Yeah. In fact, just the opposite. I think he's sort of surprised that so many people are, and I guess part of that is the comfort that he has in understanding this is part of the development process. And like he said to me, we just did our pregame show, and he said, well, it's like when you took your first midterm. He said, I know I wasn't very good, and that's kind of how he looks at it. And I think he's been, and Adam, you've been around him too over the past week and a half or so. I think he's been pretty consistent in saying and expressing surprise at what was maybe a little overreaction, and it's probably not unlike what the Bears have been going through this week after the Packers game.
Well, and Dan and I were talking about this earlier. I mean, it's like double the criticism when there's a bye week, because there's not another game. You especially as a player, I'm sure, Dan, you want to have that next game like tomorrow. You don't want to have to wait 2 weeks to play again. And you know, my evaluation of Hunter in that first game, you know, the stats were certainly ugly, and there were ugly moments, but, you know, same thing with Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, he didn't get a ton of help in that game. There were self-inflicted wounds all over the field. The first interception, we talked about that earlier, that was not his fault. And so I actually liked what I saw from the arm standpoint, from the athleticism standpoint. He can clearly make plays with his feet. And that first game, no matter what season is, but especially when you're with a new program, there's so many unknowns. You're going through it for the first time, and that's not just him. That's the entire team and both teams involved. So now you take a step back. You actually have film to watch now. You have film to watch on your opponent. He's going to be so much more prepared today than he was in that first game 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people were really hard on him. He talked about it. And when the folks that were trying to, you know, walk that back a little bit have made a lot of excuses for him. But now he just has to put it on the field. Because it's week two now. You know, you all the excuses for week one, and I love Fitz. He's always gonna protect his guys. He's never gonna be harder than his guys, especially to the media. So you know, there's pressure on Hunter to perform today, and hopefully he will. But the excuses have now run out. So we just need to see something on the field at this point.
This is End Zone Live. We're at the southeast corner of Ryan Field. If you want to stop by, we'd love to see if you're coming out to Ryan Field today. And by the way, if you're not doing anything, there are a couple of tickets available. You can come on by and have some football, which is a great choice on a Saturday afternoon. Dave, how much do you worry about not having Bowser today, and what does that look like for the Wildcats running the ball?
Well, I think they felt good going in about their depth there, and Adam was on the sidelines last week. We didn't really, you know, at the point that Isaiah got hurt, the initial word was, I think, that maybe he was going to come back in, and then he was eventually ruled out. But I think, you know, at this point last year, he wasn't playing either.
Yep.
You know, and of course, Jeremy Larkin was, and unfortunately, they ended up losing his services. But I think that they feel like they've got some pretty good depth at the position. Drake Anderson, who we only saw in a couple of games last year and saw in one game, saw him in the Stanford game briefly. They've got him, John Moten, who I think is a pretty known commodity. He's played a lot of football for them. And Jesse Brown, who I thought, well, he made their biggest play on offense last week or 2 weeks ago against Stanford. So I think you're going to see a lot of those three guys here today.
What type of breakdown do you think running, passing the football today? I mean, UNLV should offer some opportunities to do both, but what would you think they'll do?
Yeah, I think, you know, typically in these games, Fitz wants to establish the run pretty early just because of the physicality. He'll think he has an advantage there. But hopefully it's close to, you know, 50-50, 60-40. And I just think it's really important that Hunter builds some confidence in this game with completions, whether they're bubble passes, quick outs. Doesn't have to be bombs. He just needs to get completions and get more people involved in the offense. Because how many people touched the ball, you know, 2 weeks ago? Not that many.
Right.
Especially in the spread offense.
Well, we discussed that as one of our keys to the game in Stanford. And something I wanted to see early on in that game, no matter which quarterback was on the field, was short, easy completions. Just to stack those early, get some confidence going. And it was really disappointing not to see that against Stanford. So I think today I'm right there with you, Dan. I mean, especially in the first quarter. But it's, you know, it's a team game, and you got to get the offensive line going. You got to get the running game going. You do all that. And, by the way, wide receivers need to make plays sometimes, too, for the quarterback. Not every ball can be thrown perfectly, and you need guys like Bennett Skowronek to make that catch at Iowa last year, which was an incredible grab. Sometimes that's the only place the ball can go, and the wide receiver needs to make it. You know that, Dan.
Yeah, but I think at the same token, you know, Bennett was involved in that game early. It's really hard to not touch the ball in the game and then make a one-hand grab in the end zone to win the Big Ten West. Like, that's really hard. So you got to get guys involved early, get their confidence going, and just get them touching the ball.
You know, they try to get the ball a couple of times to Berkeley Holman, and we saw Berkeley last year. I mean, he's a guy, he doesn't get the most pub among the wide receivers. But he has a knack for finding those soft spots in the defense. And, you know, he got hit pretty hard on that first pass to him that deflected into the arms of the defender. But, yeah, I think they have enough guys like that who I think can make some plays if you get the ball to them. Berkeley, you know, Kyrick McGowan showed he can stretch the field a little bit. J.J. Jefferson, another guy. So, you know, maybe they can spread it around a little more because they're at their best when a lot of guys are touching the ball.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Come on back. We'll update everything that's going on in college football. Dave, are you sticking around? You got to get out of here. I think you're leaving, aren't you?
Well, you know what?
I believe he has a game to call.
I have to catch the 121 elevator.
The 121 elevator?
Yes.
Hey, they do run every 10 minutes here.
Good to see you. We'll hear you. Pre-game starts officially at 2 o'clock. Thanks for coming by, Dave.
Have fun.
Dan, you sticking around? Say yes.
I got to run as well, unfortunately.
Dan Persa's leaving, too. It's just me and you, Adam.
Let the guy
have some fun before the game, too.
Great to see you.
I have a beer and a bra waiting for me.
Beer and a bra ratings.
As you should.
That's better than us. Great to see you. Thanks for coming by.
We got plenty of beer and food here, too, at the end zone.
Yes. Come on by Southeast Corner. To Ryan Field. There's 312s, there's Bud Lights, there's hot dogs, there's brats, there's everything. And hey, make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. You can stick around for the latest shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. We are with you till 2 o'clock on 720 WGN. It is End Zone Live, our first college football live broadcast of 2019. Mark Harmon and Adam Hoge now with you as Sam and Dave have left the building.
Is that Blink 182?
I believe so. Not bad.
I like it.
And I should say left the building. They left the end zone. They've headed into Ryan Field. Wildcats.
They've actually entered the building. Right.
Wildcats and UNLV coming up. I think so. Dave just referenced Sam crying when the Wildcats won the Gator Bowl on New Year's Day, beating Mississippi State. Now, Sam was doing your job that you do now, sidelines.
Okay.
And so we pulled the audio here of Sam and Fitz after the win. I don't know if he cries now, but we got to hear this. So this is on the field after the game. Wildcats beat Mississippi State. It's 2013. Sam Valenzisi, Pat Fitzgerald.
Sam is trying to track down Pat Fitzgerald. All right, let's go to Sam.
Do you have words to describe how you feel right now?
Just listening to those guys, enjoying the moment, and I couldn't be more happy and more thankful for our senior son. It's unbelievable. You and I, we've been through this, buddy, and it's been a long time, and it's for all those that have been before us, and it's a big win for our seniors.
Tell us a little bit about what you think was the difference in the second half for your team, the way they came out like a house of fire.
Something we talked about in halftime is about you got 30 minutes to create history. So we're up by three, and we walked in. It was like the night of the living dead in the locker room. And I said, hey, if we come in 30 minutes from now up three, how's the locker room going to be? So I had nothing to do with me. It was all their response. And it was always about the young men. So very thankful for our seniors.
Speaking of some of those seniors, Quentin Williams, two sacks, a touchdown on an interception. Talk about what this senior class has done. You've talked all year about chemistry and how important it was.
So we showed the highlights of our guys in high school, the senior class. And the last highlight was Quentin Williams beating a guy around the edge, hitting a quarterback, and chasing a guy 6 yards down the field. It's amazing how everything happens for a reason.
It's hard to, just after this game has ended, but can you put into any context what you think this win means for this program going forward?
Well, it's the next step, you know, to be champions. And, you know, we're 1-0 in 2013, and we're going to enjoy tonight. And just very thankful for everyone's support, all those that have been here before us, but really for our young men, number one, and for our seniors, especially our staff.
Coach, for everybody who's played football here, for all of this nation, thank you, your seniors, this team, and this staff for making this happen. I think there's a lot of people out there who never thought they could see this happen, but there are a lot of folks, I think, who are there in 49, who are here today, who are just so happy that this happened.
All I can say is go Cats.
Okay. All right. Anybody got tissue around here?
It was emotional.
That was
a really nice job, actually, by Sam.
That was incredible.
Yeah, it was a great interview.
And
that's a different, I mean, that's always going to be a different dynamic than like, for instance, me, that I'm going to ever have with Fitz at halftime when he's usually just, you know, screaming at me.
Are you feeling competitive with Sam right now? You have...
No. What I'm saying is, those guys are former teammates.
I know.
Okay?
I know.
You can't compete with that bond.
No, you can't. But you and Fitz have a little something going on now.
Well, we have good chemistry, I think.
Yeah,
But good reporter-coach chemistry, not...
There's nothing better than when...
Teammate chemistry. There's a big difference, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Fitz and I have our routine down at halftime. I ask him, you know, well, I ask him two serious questions, but I always know the second one, I'm going to get a much shorter...
tackle someone.
I don't want to say snippy, but sometimes sarcastic remark. Like, what was the quote 2 weeks ago? I asked him, how do you think your quarterback's played in the first half? And he goes, well, we have no points, so that's how I feel about that.
it's
a great quote. It's short and to the point.
I have told you, I don't know, 1,000 times now, your sideline is some of the best radio that I've ever heard. You're so good at it.
Why?
I don't know. You just have a talent for it. You're very direct. You don't overtalk it. You ask good questions. I love your sideline. I just do.
I appreciate it.
And
well, I will.
And Sam was incredible right there. That was a great
honestly,
job.
That was a good interview and a unique situation where you have a former teammate interviewing you.
It's awesome.
You're not going to have that too much, but you know, really, to what you just said, Carmen. I mean,
I just love our team and working with Ted and Dave every single week. I mean, those guys are the real stars up there in the booth, and they do an incredible job.
Dave has had an okay career around here. That's another guy that I've said it to him, and I've said it on the air a zillion times.
Honored on the field, by the way, while we've been doing this show, 30 years now. They gave him a really nice poster, I think is what you would call it, when we were out at Stanford a couple weeks ago, since that was the actual start of the 30th season. But then they framed it, and he had his family out there on the field. It was very nice. I was not there. I only saw a photo because I was here with you, Karn, but even it came through the photo. It looked like a really nice moment with Jim Phillips there, Pat Fitzgerald there as well.
I don't throw these compliments around lightly, Adam Hoge. Dave Ennett is the Michael Jordan of football.
For you, that is the highest compliment you can get.
Well, that's how I feel with Dave. I mean, he's so good at calling Northwestern football. It feels like exactly what you want to hear on a Saturday afternoon or whatever, a Friday night now when Ohio State comes to the guy. He's just phenomenal at his job. And I love Ted, too, for that. And I know that I'm sounding like I'm just on board, but they do a great, great, great job. That was a 34-20 win over Mississippi State, January 1 of 2013. It was the first time the Cats had a 10-win season since they had gone to the Rose Bowl in 95. So it had been a long time, man, to win on New Year's Day. So that's part of the reason why those guys were so emotional.
And that was a little over 6 years ago. There's been two more 10-win seasons since then. They're regularly not only getting in bowl games, but winning the bowl games.
Right.
Okay? I've been fortunate to see them now win three straight bowl games.
No one thought that would ever happen.
Right. And it is something that I think varies from program to program, how much they care. That we talk about every year when you get the bowl season. What is the motivation for some of these teams? And I get it. You know, some of these programs that are, you know, used to playing in the college football playoff every year end up in the Pinstripe Bowl. It might not matter as much to them. But you heard in that interview, Fitz talking about it's the next step. And this has been a grind for him. But it is always about elevating the program to the next step. And they accomplished that now by winning three straight bowl games, which you can hear the emotion in that interview. It's different now. You know what I mean? Like, that was one. Now we're talking about three straight. We're talking about the Big Ten championship game appearance last year, which was the next step there in last year's program. And now it's all about building on that.
And it is. Look, any bowl win is a huge win. But winning on New Year's Day, to me, it just feels like it's just a tick higher. You went on New Year's Day, you beat an SEC team.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I do. I mean, just the nostalgia for me of those New Year's Day bowl games, they still do matter more.
For me, it does too. All right, let's remind you that news is coming up in 2 minutes. We're at the End Zone, which is the new hangout spot before Northwestern football, southeast corner of Ryan Field. Come on by, say hi. And a reminder that the Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their dental institute, family medicine clinic, speech-language institute, physical therapy institute, and eye institute. Their clinics, you'll receive exceptional care from a team of highly qualified faculty, students, and staff. You can learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare. When we come back after the 1:30 news, we'll update you on everything that is going on in college football and continue to get you ready for Northwestern and UNLV. Live at the End Zone on 720 WGN. Northwestern and UNLV coming up. We are live at the End Zone, southeast corner of Ryan Field. Mark Carman and Adam Hoge. Adam, you got a little breaking news over there on today's game.
Oh, no, just first of all, the kickoff is more like 2:40 is what was scheduled.
Oh, okay.
These 2:30 games tend to drift backwards. So we're getting word now that it might be more like 2:45.
So if you want to...
You know what, Carmen? It's really more breaking news inside the broadcast
than necessarily the
world. But I don't think it hurts to tell the fans that it sounds like the kickoff will be more like 2:45 today.
All right. If you're hanging out in your car, enjoying or, you know, tailgating somewhere around your car, I should say, you can spend a little extra time listening to WGN before you head on into Ryan Field. Beautiful opportunity. Let's update you on everything that's going on in college football. We'll start with the Big Ten here.
Some interesting scores out there right now.
Yeah. Well, Ohio State routing Indiana is not super interesting. The Hoosiers are 2-0, but 44-10, the Buckeyes in Bloomington today. You think Ohio State's the best team in the conference?
I mean, it'd be hard to argue otherwise right now. Meanwhile, Penn State's tied with Pitt right now in the third quarter. I know they had some weather there at Penn State, but so... when you see one of those teams is struggling against Pitt at home and the other's on the road at Indiana, and Indiana's given Ohio State fits in some past games. Granted, I think this will be Ohio State's 25th straight victory over the Hoosiers, but there's been some tight ones in there. Ohio State, though, has just been... I mean, Justin Fields looks outstanding. Their new quarterback, they've not lost a beat with Urban Meyer stepping down. There are three games now, 45-21. Over FAU, 42-0 over a pretty decent Cincinnati team, and then they go to Indiana and they're up 44-10 right now. So how do you not say Ohio State's the best team in the Big Ten?
When they come rolling in here on Friday night, they're going to get a hurting by the purple, baby.
And by the way, Maryland, which has been off to a great start,
they've been killing teams
their season. Temple, this score had been 7-2 for a while. Now it's 15-13. Maryland has taken the lead, but they, you know, a lot of people crowning them an offensive juggernaut here after what they did to Syracuse a week ago. They've been struggling against Temple to move the ball.
And Illinois has been playing good football, but right now in Champaign, they're trailing Eastern Michigan.
Define good.
Getting a win.
There you go.
For Illinois. You know, I don't know, when's the last time they were 2-0? I don't have the stats in front of me, but it wasn't yesterday. And I'm not saying they're, you know, beating Ohio State at the shoe, but they've a win for Illinois is impressive these days. But right now at home, Eastern Michigan, a 1-1 football team, is up top Illinois by 6 with 5:05 left in the third quarter. Brandon Peters, the grad transfer quarterback, is 17-23 for the Illini for 196 yards and a touchdown. I was down in Illinois last year to see the Illini play when it wasn't Northwestern. Not exactly the game day atmosphere that the Illini would like to have once they get this thing rolling. I don't know. You think Lovie's the right fit down there? Do you see that lasting?
I think it's always been a sort of an odd fit, but one they needed. If that makes sense. They hired Lovie Smith, I was like, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, here's a guy that you're not going to see well, not that the program really could have regressed at that point, but, you know, you're not going to see this be a disaster. Lovie's too good of a coach and too good of a man to you know, he's going to bring respectability back to a program. Whether that results in a ton of wins, I mean, we're far enough down. What is this? His fourth or fifth season already?
This is year four, I believe.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's obviously been a tough road. But, you know, you're in year four, so have his guys in there. His guys are in there now. I mean, these are not the players he inherited, but the players that he's brought in there now. And
he's 4-23 in the Big Ten, 10-37 overall. But
you can't be losing to Eastern Michigan at home.
No, that'd be bad.
At this point.
But what Tim Beckman was throwing out there, the credibility of the program and everything that was going on off the field was ugly.
That's why I thought Lovie made a lot of sense.
Right. I looked at it at the time. Are you really motivated after being a head coach with the Bears and a head coach in Tampa, even though that didn't go well? Are you really motivated to go down to the college level and recruit? Like, that's a totally different game. And, I mean, do 18-year-old kids look up to Lovie? Do they even know who he is? Peanut Tillman does, but I don't know about a kid in downstate Illinois or wherever that you would recruit. And to this point, it hasn't worked out for Illinois. But
yeah. Well, I would say that this next quarter and 3 minutes and 31 seconds left in the third are pretty big for Lovie Smith. Because, like I said, at this point, 4 years in, you can't be losing to MAC teams at home. All right, some other scores around the league, too. Mississippi State leads Kansas State 21-17 at the start of the fourth quarter. Air Force at Colorado. Air Force is up 21-10 in the third. 20-10 in the third. Colorado coming off that big win over Nebraska last week that they came back in. And Air Force is in Boulder putting it to the Buffaloes right now.
You know, part of the fun of this time of year is that you got multiple sports going on. I was in the White Sox clubhouse where you spend a lot of time, too. Aaron Bummer.
I was going to say, I can't picture you in the White House.
Not yet, no. It's probably not in my future. certainly not in my past or current.
The White Sox clubhouse, yes.
White Sox clubhouse. Aaron Bummer went to Nebraska, played college baseball there for Darren Erstead, who was a great major leaguer. And I, you know, then asked him, "What happened to your Cornhuskers today? How are you getting smoked?" And they care.
Oh yeah,
they care greatly. So this is just a fun time of year with the baseball still going. People care about getting into the postseason. Whether the Cubs will do it or not, we'll see what happens there. And then you got college football rolling out. You got your Bears, Adam Hogue. You're heading out after the game on the first flight to Denver.
Well, technically, be the last flight of the day.
Right, the first flight that you can catch.
Yes, that is accurate.
Thank you very much.
A
lot going on, man.
And kickoff getting pushed back, and you know, the last time I was in this situation, it was a triple overtime game against Michigan State. The flight to New Orleans that night was nearly missed.
Well, but you made it because you're elite.
Well, you know, I made a phone call. They held the plane for me.
Exactly.
No, that definitely did not happen.
By the way, the Blackhawks are starting up soon, too, and then Bulls basketball is right around the corner. Next thing you know, Chris Collins and Northwestern basketball will be going. All that's right. It's a great time of sports year. I want to remind you of one. By the way, Notre Dame also is just underway here playing New Mexico, so the Irish are in action down in South Bend. We'll be monitoring that score throughout the...
Richard Hogue's in South Bend right
Richard,
now.
Your dad's at the game?
Yeah.
Why did he go to the game today?
Just somebody offered him a ticket.
Okay.
That's all.
Your dad goes to more sporting events than anybody.
He likes it. You know?
There's Richard Hogue. The White Sox are playing the Twins. He's in the right field bleachers in Minnesota. There's Richard Hogue. He's at Notre Dame for New Mexico. There's Richard Hogue. He's sitting in the corner end zone. Northwestern's take. I love your dad.
He was randomly at that game in Minnesota where the home run ball came right to him. Nobody in my family caught it.
There's a
very disappointing moment for the Hogue family.
There's
seven of them lined up. Ball goes right to him. Nobody catches it.
That was such a weird moment at Twitter. Said, wait, you're tweeting like, there's my dad. I'm like, how's that possible that your father, he's just at White Sox games? Is he in Seattle too? Is he going to head from South Bend?
Probably. He's probably on some direct flight from South Bend to Seattle to make the Sox games today.
That's a good life right there. By the way, pregame's coming up at 2. My player profile feature is on Travis Willock, who was great to get to know him a little bit. Guy that couldn't get on the field, had a hamstring injury, and was trying to get back, and then it just would never heal, so he missed his whole freshman year, but then got on the field last year after. Who got hurt that allowed him to get playing time? You alluded to that earlier. There was a senior starter. No?
Yes. Oh, my God, I'm blanking right now.
It's a long show.
Yes.
Long year. Bottom line. The Wildcats have a very good safety in Travis Willock as a junior right now, who played in high school with Patty Fisher. And when you think about the strengths of this Northwestern football team, that the secondary is a huge part of it. Also, when you got guys like Joe Gaziano up front getting to the quarterback, a lot of optimism even after the week one loss at Stanford that this Northwestern team is going to be incredibly formidable this year. Huge day today for Hunter Johnson, the quarterback, to get in rhythm as the Wildcats have some really, really tough games coming up here. Today should be a win and a game for the Cats to get in rhythm, but
Jared McGee.
There we go.
You know, you have those moments where you can picture the guy, but you, for some reason the name was that, which is inexcusable for a guy that
it's okay.
Basically played every single game that I've called from the sidelines.
Good old number 41, Jared McGee.
Yes, there you go. Then you remember the number, and
there
it all comes back.
There we go. Yeah. All right, quick timeout. Let's come on back to the end zone. We're at the southeast corner of Ryan Field. Come by, say hi. There is food. There is drink. There is entertainment, all of it going on. We got a DJ right to our right who's allowing us to talk, and then the music's going to play. Great scene out here at Ryan Field. The Cats and UNLV coming up on 720 WGN. End Zone Live, southeast corner, Ryan Field, Mark Harmon, Adam Hogue, come on out. Great place to be before every Northwestern home football game. Adam, you got a story from Pat Fitzgerald at practice this week?
Well, I wanted to, 9/11 was this week. And, one thing that Fitz cares about a lot, and you always see it with this program, is, the American flag and 9/11. And he makes, a point of making sure his guys appreciate that. You know, they run out with the American flag every single game, no matter when it is. And you don't see that everywhere. A lot of times it's the school flag. There's nothing wrong with that either, but it's just it's something that matters here. So at practice the other day, they inside their great practice facility, they put something up at the end, like a remembrance on their video board of 9/11, and Fitch just, you know, made a point to make sure the guys took a moment to remember it, and if they knew anybody involved, to, you know, reach out to them in the day. And it, I just thought that was cool. But then it occurred to me, I'm like, what year were these kids born? isn't that weird?
It is.
Right now, 18-year-olds, right, were born in 2001, if I could do math correctly.
You just did.
So the freshmen, we're starting at the point where freshmen here, some of them maybe not even alive for 9/11.
Certainly don't remember it.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just something it occurred to me. But the challenge of, I don't know if it's necessarily a challenge, but maybe the importance of making sure that the players think about it and appreciate it is even, you know, it's even more important now.
I watched a video this week about 9/11 that I had never seen. Have you watched The Man in the Red Bandana?
Seen that going around a lot this week. Have not watched it, but I need to.
So it's a guy by the name of Wells Crowther, and he grew up in a small town close to New York City. And his father was a fireman, or at least involved in the fire department. And when he was a kid, his dad gives him, puts a handkerchief on his little suit coat in the front. He said, this one's for show, and then he gives him a red bandana. Put this in your pocket. This one is for blow, in case he's got to blow his nose at school or wherever. And the kid goes on to carry this red bandana with him wherever he goes. You know, his dad's still alive to this day and all that, but he always carried the red bandana. And so 9/11 happens. He's a lacrosse player at Boston College. So he's a student athlete living a great life, and he's also interning in one of the towers at a financial institution. I forget which one. So he's in the tower on that day, and he ends up not making it out. Story comes out in the New York Times maybe 2 months later, and all these people are talking about how some guy with a red bandana led them to safety, down the stairways, took them out, went back in, got more people, went back in, got more people. So here his parents are. They've lost their son, and then they're reading about him 2 months later in the Times. They reach out to the people. It is an unbelievable video. That was something to see as far as 9/11 coming around, just stories. And
yeah, I have to watch that.
It fits around the college world. He was a college kid at the time playing for the lacrosse team at Boston College. Just an unbelievable video.
Well, one of the biggest things I remember is how much sports mattered after that. Just not in terms of, you know, perspective, obviously sports did not matter, but sports served as such a healing mechanism for everybody after 9/11. Getting back out there with George W. Bush throwing the first pitch at the Yankees game.
Sammy
but
Sosa.
But everywhere, here, you know, a Northwestern game, that was football season. Everything stopped for a week. So for it to all resume and get people to have happiness again for at least 3 hours on a Saturday, I think that's why to this day, especially here, every sideline I'm down here at Ryan Field, they make such a big deal, whether it's the paratroopers coming in or just the national anthem, and everybody's lined up for it. I just wanted to bring that up here before we get in there for the first one of the season, Mark Harmon. It's opening day.
All right. And on that train of thought, what's key for your mind today for Northwestern to get a win?
Yeah, well, two different questions. I think key for the season is Hunter Johnson, you know, shows improvement, gets confidence. We're going to talk about that a lot more coming up on our pregame show here in just a few minutes. But key to win this game, keep doing what you've been doing defensively. I think this is a great unit. Like, if you were to ask me, what do I trust the most on this Northwestern football team right now, it is the defense. I love the secondary right now. You got a lot of experience at corner. You've talked about Travis Willock. J.R. Pace has played a lot of football at this point. He's a junior now. And those linebackers, Blake Gallagher, all the dude does is tackle guys. Patty Fisher gets all the accolades, but Blake Gallagher has, you know, he tackles. All he does is tackle people. And then defensive line, there's a couple depth issues this week. A couple guys who are out, but you know the starters are all there. It's a good defensive unit, and I think in a game like this, you're playing a mobile quarterback in Armani Rogers on UNLV. You contain him, I think you contain the UNLV offense.
Adam, great to be with you today, brother.
You too.
Pre-game show coming right up. I'll have a feature on Travis Willock. Adam's going to have his keys for the games. Dave and Ted, of course, coming right around the corner, top of the hour. And, yes, Northwestern and UNLV, first home game of the year. You can still stop by the end zone, southeast corner, Ryan Field, right off of Central. Thank you to Rick Geezer, producing on-site, Ernie Skadden, our engineer, back at WGN, Ashley Behun, and Krista Flores back at WGN as well. Thanks for the news for Bob Kessler, which is coming up as well. Actually, he's not coming up. We'll have pregame at the top of the hour. Talk to you during the game and then after the game. Have a great Saturday afternoon, Northwestern and UNLV. Go Cats, 720 WGN.